I don't know
about you, but I found it to be true that God is good. And there are moments in time when, you know, you especially sense and see and witness that goodness. He's good all the time. Rick said a minute ago, sometimes the problems of life don't take a vacation, and that's true. They don't take a Christmas vacation. But God is good in the midst of those problems. If we'll open our eyes and hearts and receive it. And it's not a part of what I planned to say today, but you know, the birth of Jesus didn't come at a convenient or an opportune or a comfortable time. And for the virgin and her husband, Joseph, you know, could have been easy to say, God, why'd you get us into this situation? But right in the midst of that goodness, himself was born to earth. And that is a testimony of how God's goodness meets us in our times of need. He brings hope and he brings joy and he brings goodness in the midst. I want to, before I get started here, I wanted to say a note was passed to me about a family in need. And I've prayed for them, and I would encourage you to do so also. JC's neighbors broke down in Arkansas, and then they didn't have money for Christmas presents and actually ended up sleeping in a car. And so it's a situation where somebody at Christmas is in need. And so I would encourage you to extend a prayer for those. And as I pray now, before I bring the scripture and the sermon, we'll include that family in our prayer. So would you join your hearts with me? So Father, first we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before you to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's our prayer that you would be with those who are hurting. Chase these neighbors, Lord, in desperate need, in a bad time. I pray that your goodness would be revealed in the midst of that situation. Thank you for Josh and his family responding to the need and bringing Christmas presents. But we just pray that you continue to minister to the needs of that family. And now, Lord, as we come and consider your word, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would illuminate us. That you would speak, that your word would become real in the hearts of both the speaker and the hearer, and that we would be transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ through your work in us now. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I officiated a wedding this past weekend. And I got to rehearsal, and I was asked to incorporate a passage of scripture into the ceremony, which is really nice when people want scriptures read at their wedding. It's like, yeah, you know. Usually people say, make it as short as you can, you know. Let's get out of here in 5 minutes. I mean, this is important stuff, people. 5 minutes is what you want to dedicate to a commitment that's for the rest of your life. But at any rate, I digress. So they asked for a passage of scripture to be incorporated into their wedding ceremony. And up to that point, I had not even really thought about what I was going to preach tonight, because I don't usually plan things ahead. It's just my way. But as I read the passage they had requested, I said, oh, my heart was settled. That was tonight's scripture reading. And if you are able to read in the dark, if you have night vision or special goggles, it is printed on the back of your bulletin, or you can follow along in a Bible, or perhaps you've got a flashlight on your cell phone and would like to, or just use the Bible that's downloaded onto your telephone. Who has a Bible downloaded onto your telephone? Okay, you can do that. I won't preach the same message that I preached at the wedding, or at least not exactly, but we'll revisit that text. And the text is in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, and I suppose probably not a likely text either for a wedding or for a Christmas Eve service, but it works, and I think you'll see it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and I'll read through verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. This is the word of the Lord. So, as I read that passage, I recognize that the main thing, the point that the Apostle John is making, the main point that he's making, is to tell us that we should love one another. And we should. Okay? And so John tells us this, love one another. He instructs us that way. And this is an overarching theme of John's letters. John, who was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one referred to as the beloved disciple of Jesus, lived to be what's thought to be a very old man, so thought to have outlived all the other apostles. And it's said of him that in his old age, he was feeble and barely able to speak, but that they would continue to bring him before the church in Jerusalem, where he served there. And when he was barely able to address them, he always, the story goes, in his old age, would say to them simply this, little children, love one another. Little children, love one another. And I can see, you know, a dear old aged man served Christ all of his life, and the weight that those words would carry from him. Little children, love one another. So that's the instruction that John gives us here. And it's the theme not only of his letters, but of his life. Dear friends, let us love one another. And we'll return to the instructional part of that in just a minute. But along the way, as John tells us that we should love one another, he does a couple of other things. He presents us with two things. He presents us, well, maybe more than two, but there's two that I want to point out. He presents us with an example of love, or I should say the example of love. And he points us to the measure of love. How do you know what love is? Okay. So firstly, the example of love, the exemplar, the one who sets the example, the one that we should imitate is God himself. And he presents it here in the scriptures. This is a triune love of God. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So God is the example. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit serve in harmony to present that example, the three persons of the Trinity cooperating and loving us and setting of it an example of how we should love. So God sets the example. He's the one that we're to imitate. But I think it's important to notice what John says here demonstrates or measures the love of God. How do we know what love is? How do we measure love, or better, how does God measure love? Some of you may know the song from the group Foreigner from way, way back. I want to know what love is. Okay, so John would say in answer to that, look, here it is. If you want to know what love is, look here. And he answers it three times. He says, this is love. This is how, first he says this, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And again, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And a third time, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. So three times there, John tells us this is the measure of love. This is the demonstration of God's love. He sent his Son. Three times he says that. Three times John presents us with what love is, what it looks like, and it is simply this. God sent his Son into the world. That's the measure of love. So why does God send his Son? To what purpose? God's loving aim in sending his Son into the world, and he presents it in three parts. Number one, that we may live through him. He sent the Son into the world with this first aim, that we might live through him. So Christ came as a life giver. And I wrote that down, and I just said it like I didn't want to say it. Christ came into the world as the life giver, the only life giver. One author says it like this. Christianity isn't about making bad people good. It's about making dead people live. Because the Apostle Paul says this, as for you, you were dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And in another place, Paul says this, as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. God saw dead men walking. Those who had no spirit life, those who were enslaved to spiritual death. And he sent his only Son into the world to bring life. In John's Gospel, he says this, in him, that is in Jesus, was life. In him was life, that is to say, he's the source of it. It comes from him, proceeds from him. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. And Jesus said of his own self, the thief comes but for to kill and to steal and destroy, but I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. God sent his Son, his one and only Son, into the world that we might live through him. That's the first thing that God said, John said God accomplishes in sending his Son. Secondly, he sent his Son into the world as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Again, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Transgressions and sins were not only the coffin of our souls, but they set us up as enemies of God. They set us up as those who merited divine wrath. And what could be done about that? What remedy could I offer? I was hopeless to answer that. I was hopeless to atone for my own sin. What's to be done? I can do nothing. Perfect Lamb of God, in order to answer, in order to atone for the sins, that is to cover over and to what's the King James word that's used there? Propitiate, to make happy. The perfect Lamb must be made a sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice on your behalf and mine. So this God accomplished through Christ in his death on a tree. A child was born in Bethlehem. Thanks be to God. This child that was born in Bethlehem, though, was sent with a further purpose. The Lord Jesus himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. At the end of the service today, we'll sing a song that you all know. One part of the song says, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus Lord, at thy birth. And I love that expression. The birth of Jesus Christ is but the dawning of the day of redemption. It's an inexpressibly beautiful dawn, but still just the dawning. Because the full light of day in the redemptive plan of God finds Christ crucified and on the third day risen again. But with this purpose, to be an atoning sacrifice for sins. And then lastly, the Father sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. I can't see her because it's dark back there, but I know she's there because I saw her earlier. Hannah Vandekar. A couple years ago, there she is. I can see a hand raised in the dark. A few years ago, made a painting for me. The painting was a manger with the cross standing above it, sort of casting its shadow over the manger. And Hannah had incorporated into that painting a quote of me. That's why, you know, I found it so special. She quoted me and wrote my words on there. But this is what I said that she quoted there. Oh, and by the way, then Ryan found somebody else who said almost identically the same thing on the computer, but I didn't steal it first from anybody. So this was the quote. Christ did not lead a rescue mission. He was the rescue mission. Our salvation is not accomplished with our help. Our salvation is not accomplished with anything other than the work of Jesus Christ, without assistance, without advisors, without a team. He and he alone is the Savior of the world. So all of this, all that God sent his Son to accomplish, is love in action, on display, the measure of love. This is what love looks like. And then it's this kind of love that John turns to us and says, love one another like that. Love one another like that. Dear friends, he says, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So in practical terms, here's what I think that translates to. God is the example, and this is what he did, okay? In a nutshell, God saw my need, he saw your need, and he served it. He served it through the unspeakable gift of his own Son sent into the world. Through Christ Jesus, God placed himself, the creator of the universe, mind you, placed himself in service to my need. And God incarnate washed disciples' feet. And God incarnate gave his back to the smiters and his body to the cross. Because this is love in action. To see a need and to serve it. So, quite simply, if I would imitate God, I would look to serve you. to place your needs above my own. Now that's a pretty tall order, yes? That's not me. I'm not like that. I'd rather serve myself than serve you. At least that's the nature I was born with. Which I think is why John concludes as he does. He concludes this way: if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God for us. In other words, his love for me, knowing and relying on his love, sources and sustains my love for you. What should I do? I should fill up my heart and my mind with the great love of Christ to me in sending his one and only Son into the world. I should fill up my heart and my mind with that knowledge, and the result of that, through the power of the Spirit, is that we, with ever-increasing glory, begin to love like God loves, placing someone else's needs as my highest priority. Dear friends, to quote John, God sent his Son into the world in service to our most desperate needs. In service then to one another, dear friends, let us love one another. Amen.